Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As I said in the greetings before service, the sermon today will come from the Old Testament reading and the Gospel reading. From the Old Testament reading, we heard this. Elijah asked that he might die, saying, "It is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am no better than my father's." And he lay down and slept under a broom tree. And behold, an angel touched him and said, "Arise and eat." And from the Gospel reading, the words of Jesus, who said, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." These are our texts. Last week's sermon focused on one particular question. The question was, why seek Jesus? Why seek Jesus? And we learned how the crowds had chased after Jesus for bread. They chased after Jesus because they wanted to satisfy their bellies. But Jesus wanted to give them something more, himself, the very bread of life. Today we begin with the Old Testament reading, 1 Kings, Elijah fleeing from Queen Jezebel. And this text raises another question. The question is this: why run away? Why run away? Because that's what Elijah was doing. He was running. He was running away, and he was ready to give up. Elijah, of all people. Now, you may remember a little bit about Elijah from Sunday school, or perhaps from Bible study and Bible reading, but I'll give you a quick refresher about this prophet of the Lord. We hear about him in 1 Kings and at the very beginning of 2 Kings. Elijah was a prophet who lived in the northern kingdom of Israel during the 9th century BC, 900 years before Christ. It was a difficult time to be a prophet of the Lord. The northern kingdom was prosperous, and as often happens when things are good, the kings fell away. They fell into apostasy. The kings married unbelievers. They abandoned the true faith. They renounced the Lord, the God of Israel, and they served and worshipped other gods. And the people did the same. As go the rulers, so go the people. There was a great famine over the land for 3 years. Maybe you remember the story of Elijah and the widow of Zarephath, who was about to cook the last meal for herself and her son when Elijah asked her for some bread. There were wars against Syria in the north, and true prophets like Elijah were persecuted, they were hunted, and they were killed. Elijah seemed to be all alone. And yet Elijah also was a great champion of the Lord's cause. When we meet him in today's reading, he has just triumphed over the prophets of Baal, a false god, on Mount Carmel. One true prophet against 450 false prophets. And he won the day. But that's not what we hear about Elijah today. Instead, we hear about what comes after Mount Carmel. Queen Jezebel, a pagan queen, sends a message to Elijah telling him that he is dead meat. If she had her wish, he would be dead before 24 hours had passed. And Elijah was afraid, so he ran. He ran for his life. He fled south through Judah. He passed through the southernmost city of Beersheba, and then he kept going a day into the wilderness. And there he sat down, and there he asked to die. He asked to die. "It's enough," he prayed. "Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I'm no better than my father's." Exhausted, depressed, at the end of his rope, he lay down and slept under a broom tree. Now, I want us to take a minute to make a bed next to Elijah. Think about his life. Why run away? Well, the reason seemed obvious, I suppose. He was running from persecution, even from certain death. He was running for his life. And yet he was also, in some sense, running from his life. Running from his life with its hardships and asking to die. Wanting it to end. He was trying to escape the past, trying to escape the pain, trying to escape the loneliness, trying to escape the people who despised and mistreated him, trying to escape the life that which he'd been called to live with all its thorns and all its thistles. That's what he was running from. And what about you? What are you running from? Because so many of us seem to be trying to escape something. Running perhaps towards distractions, or running all over so we don't have to think, or running toward a refuge of some kind, even if that refuge comes in the form of something we eat or drink or smoke or swallow. So what's the starting pistol that sets you sprinting? What is it that makes you into a marathoner? Are you running from death, or are you running toward it? What disappointment, what pain, what suffering nip at your heels? What sins and failures and fears are pushing you forward? Who are you running away from? What thorns and thistles in your life, what callings, what responsibilities, what work make you want to say it's enough and lay down and die under a broom tree? Is it your work? Is it being a parent or a grandparent or not a parent? Being single or widowed? Being a Christian? Or maybe you've been running from God. Perhaps you've been running from Him for a long, long time. In which case, you should know this. The hound of heaven doesn't give up. He'll run after you. And he is fast. So Elijah ran. He asked to die. He lay down under a broom tree, hoping that he'd never wake up again. Now, he could run from Jezebel, but he couldn't outrun the Lord. He couldn't escape his calling. As David says in Psalm 139, "Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, in the grave, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. Where can I go? Not up, not down, not far, not near, not daylight or night. Our Lord can see us wherever we are, however far we may be running or have run." You know, Jonah learned the same thing by experience. You can run, but you can't hide, not from the Lord. In the place where Elijah lay down to die, and here's the thing to note, in the place where Elijah lay down to die, the Lord was there. He heard Elijah's prayer, and he answered it. Not with death, but with life, with more life. No, he didn't take away the thorns and the thistles. No, he didn't strike Jezebel dead in that moment. He didn't remove all the pain. He didn't take away the death warrant, but he strengthened Elijah and he gave him hope. Strengthened Elijah and gave him hope. I can imagine Elijah at the end of our reading today, though he doesn't say these words, I can imagine his last prayer being this: "Thy will be done, O Lord." Because this is what happened. While Elijah slept, an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was at his head a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. And he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you." And he arose and ate and drank and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mount of God. Thy will be done, O Lord. Did you notice not once, but twice, the Lord raised Elijah and strengthened him with that food. And you see here how merciful God is. Like Elijah, we may indeed be evil and weak. We may be on the run, trying to escape, looking for a way out. We may be wanting to lay down our crosses and to set aside our callings. And God is patient with our weakness. He will provide a way of escape from every temptation so that we are able to endure. He will provide a way of escape from the guilt of our sin and from death and from our Jezebel, the devil. But he doesn't provide an escape from life. Instead, he feeds us. He strengthens us. He raises us up not once, but twice and again, and causes us to stand. So I would invite you right now, right here for a minute, again, to sit with Elijah and to receive your rest now, to rest in the word of the Lord, to rest in the food that he provides, that he gives you by the messenger whom he sends, to rest in his presence and in his promises, which are very great. And then return to the work that he gives you. And then head back out to mortify your sinful flesh. Then head out to battle the thorns and thistles. Then head out not fearing death and not fearing the devil, but telling him to go to hell. Do you remember what happened to Elijah in the end? Not the end of our reading, but the end of Elijah's life, I guess you'd say. Do you remember what happened? He doesn't die. It's so amazing. One of only two people named in the scriptures who doesn't die. Enoch in the book of Genesis walks with the Lord and is taken up. And Elijah in 2 Kings is also taken up. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. And he goes home to the Lord, alive and in the body. And the next time we see Elijah, he's with Jesus in glory on the Mount of Transfiguration. Keep that in mind. Whenever it is that you want to lay down and die, remember what the Lord does for Elijah, how he strengthens him and keeps him, and where he ends up in the end. Now we can see ourselves in Elijah, but in Jesus we see our Savior. A Savior who never ran from death, who never tried to escape the cross, who never sought to avoid the grave. As Jesus said, "I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." What is the food that gives strength to Jesus to carry out the work that is in front of him? His food is to do the will of his Father. To do the will of his Father, which even means going to the cross to bear the sin of the world and triumph over death. Jesus is the one who in the Garden of Gethsemane set aside his will and instead said, "Thy will be done." And what is our food? What is it that gives us life but to believe in him? And when I say believe in him, I don't mean believing as some sort of work that you or I do, because believing is a work that God does in us. He does it through the Word. The Holy Spirit uses the Word to create faith. He's doing it right now. And by the gospel, the Holy Spirit calls us to Christ. And this is how the Father draws us to himself, and this is how we come to Christ. Faith is his work, his gift. And what earthly food does for your body in this life, Jesus does for you spiritually. Though he was raised in Nazareth as the son of Joseph and Mary, we know that he was born in Bethlehem, called the house of bread. We know that he is not only the son of Joseph, as it seems, and of Mary, but that he is Mary's son and the son of God. He is the bread come down from heaven, but he is the bread come from heaven and given to us here on earth. At the same time, he is of heaven and he is of earth. As St. Augustine said, believe and you have eaten. Believe in him and you have the bread of life. I am the living bread that came down from heaven, Jesus said. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. His flesh gives life. Life to the world and life to you. The flesh that he once gave into death on the cross to atone for our sins is the flesh that he now gives to us with bread and wine as his body and blood in Holy Communion, delivering that forgiveness. This is the reason for the image on the front of your bulletin. Perhaps you noticed it. I got an email earlier this week from someone who's pretty astute, who said she was scratching her head trying to figure out what it means. It's the image of a pelican. In the Middle Ages, it was believed that in times of need, pelicans would feed their young with flesh from their own breast. That's what you see this pelican doing, plucking from its own breast to feed that bloody flesh to its little chicks whose mouths are sticking up. The pelican's plucking of the bloody flesh pictures the sacrifice of Christ on the cross, and the feeding of the young is a picture of Holy Communion, in which he sustains us by his flesh and his blood. As the angel told Elijah to arise and eat, so I tell you now, arise and eat the bread of life that came down from heaven. Eat that bread of life, first of all, by believing in Christ. Believing in him, the Son of Mary, crucified and on the third day raised from the dead. And believing in him, we receive what he gives in Holy Communion. Here, in his word and in his sacrament, we have a comfort for the weary, a help for those who are in need, peace for those who are terrified, and rest for those who are on the run. And the angel who spoke to Elijah was right. The journey is too great for you. The journey is too great for me as well. This is why he gives himself to us, and he will sustain you. He will give you life. Not just for 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness like Elijah, not just for 40 years like the children of Israel in the wilderness, but he will give you a life that never ends. You have his promise. I will raise you up on the last day. So as it says elsewhere in Scripture, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Like St. Paul, we press on toward the goal of the prize, toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The point is not about what we are running from, but the point is about what we are running toward. We know where we are headed. And no matter how weary we may grow, no matter whether we one day may end up lying in the grave when weakness or sickness or age or disease catch up with us, we know that he will raise us from the dead and we will finish the race. And if you cannot run, then walk. Be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love, St. Paul says, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. Eat that you may be raised, and arise now and eat the bread of life. Believe in Jesus Christ and then go in the strength of the Lord. In his name, amen.